My son's is in Boy Scout, and the other day he came back from a week-long trip, and I was driving with him, and then he just asked me, "So, do you know what happens if all the trees are gone?" So I said, "We're gonna suffocate. All the oxygen will be gone." He said, "No, I learned that almost like a 70% or some large amount of percentage of oxygen actually comes from algae in the ocean. And the rest of it comes from like a grass. And in fact, the trees produce about only 2% of the oxygen that we have on Earth." Here's another story. I was out in the back, just sitting and enjoying the sun one afternoon, and having quiet time. And I noticed the bees. And bees were on those little clover flowers. And I then looked around, and bees are everywhere. And clovers, teeny tiny flowers are everywhere. And I felt like the Lord said, "This is how I do things." You see, it's not the one giant sequoia tree that produces the bulk of oxygen. It's not this one giant bee that sucks and produces the vast amount of honey. It's the small things, hundreds of them, maybe thousands of them, millions of them, that really makes a difference. And that's how God often works in our life. You may be feeling, after listening to Jeff last week or the couple weeks of the message series, how to bring the kingdom into our life, into our community, how to bring change. You may be feeling, "Well, what can I do? I'm just a, ordinary guy, ordinary gal." That's how God works. That's how God wants to change the world. Through you. Thousands of little lights that are marching out from here that lights up the world. That's his plan. Good morning. My name is Jonathan. I'm one of the pastors here at Adventure. We have been going through this series of how to bring the kingdom to our world, how to bless our community. A couple of weeks ago, we had another gathering of our local churches in Duval, and we had a worship and prayer time. And we're learning how to bless the community. And as Jerry said, we're going into this community, business community, and offering to just pray for them. No string attached. Hey, we want to just bless you because God has blessed us. Now, also, you may be thinking, "You know what? I would like to get my life together first before I go out." Now, if you have the Bible, turn with me or turn on your cell phone to Bible app to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. In case you don't have it, you can watch this one too. Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29 is the letter the prophet Jeremiah wrote to people of Israel who are exiled into Babylon. Israel has been disobedient to the Lord over and over again. God sent one prophet after another, say, "Repent, return, come back to me, follow my ways." Israel continued to ignore God, and so God said, "Fine, I had to discipline you." Northern Kingdom was destroyed, and later on, Southern Kingdom of Judah was destroyed, and the people of Israel were sent into exile to Babylon. And to those leaders in Babylon, Jewish leaders, Jeremiah writes, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles, whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and have sons and daughters, take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. See, if I were a people of Israel, after disobeying the Lord over and over again, and finally, there is this disciplinary action that I'm in exile, I would be thinking, man, I better get my act together. And only then maybe I will be able to bless because I have made it myself so I can have something to share. But here, God commands the people of Israel in exile while they are repenting, do not decrease. Do not stop blessing the city in which you now live. Multiply, grow, increase, and spread out. Where is your city today? Where you may feel like you are under a lot of stress? You feel like you haven't got your act together? But in that very place, God says, now is the time to move out. Now is the time to bless. You see, this whole idea of bless the community is not so much now that only after I have gotten myself all organized and I got my act together, then let me share with you what I've done. No, we can do this as we experience God's healing. We can do this as we experience God's blessing. That's exactly what Jim and Christine just shared. It's not that their marriage is perfect and inviting you to join. We're under construction. And as we're under construction and being repaired and restored by God, we invite, we go out and bless. Earlier, I pointed out, let's see. Love neighbors, bless community, bring the kingdom, and change the world. That's what we're all about. The moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, the very reason God sent Jesus is to change the world. And change the world that he did. He has given you new nature. He has given you new life in Christ. And so you are now the agent of change. You have been entrusted the power to change the world. Now again, you may be feeling like, well, but how can I do that? Look at the first one, love neighbors. That comes from Matthew 22, which is the great commandment. Jesus was asked by Jewish people, what is the greatest commandment? By that time, first century Jewish community, they had tons of laws and regulations. It started with Moses' Ten Commandments, and later on Leviticus, lots of do's and don'ts. And later on, the Jewish leaders added on to that all the rules to interpret the Ten Commandments and Levitical law. Now, there are tons of rules. And so these people say, well, of all the hundreds, literally thousands of rules, what's the most important thing? And what did Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And second one is like this, to love your neighbors as yourself. Note, he says, as yourself. Do you love yourself right now? Or deep down, you don't like yourself? Be honest. Jesus said, love your neighbors as yourself. You see, when you know Jesus Christ, when he comes into your life and creates a new heart, new self, that's the real you that you can love and you can cherish because it's a gift from God. And when we are able to discern who we truly are in Christ, then we begin to appreciate ourselves. And with the same kind of appreciation, we can start to look at others. And here, it's talking about our neighbors, not brothers and sisters in the church. There is another passage that talks about loving one another within the community of faith. But here, in chapter 22 of Matthew, Jesus is specifically talking about loving your neighbors, whoever happens to sit next to you. They don't have to know Jesus, but you're commanded to love. And see them as God sees them, a creation created in the image of God, a most powerful being on earth, most beautiful being on earth, is every man and woman on this planet. And that's how God commands us to see others. And even the first commandment, love God with all your heart. In 1 John, it says that if you don't have the love for one another, now within the community of faith, then you really don't understand God's love. Meaning that to love God really means to love one another within the community of love. So then when Jesus said, I give you the greatest commandment to love God and love neighbors, really we are talking about loving another human being with the love that God has given to us. And that you can do, that you have the power to do, to be able to love another human being. And that's how we change the world. That's why everything that pertaining to life and godliness is already invested in you. And all you have to do is to tap into that and to love another person. And that love will change them and they will change the world. One of the things that I want to share with you is this, sorry. I read an article a couple of years ago, and it talks about, this is a book written by a Harvard professor. It's called American Grace, How Religion Divides and Unites Us. According to this book, he did the research, and it says this, regular churchgoers are more than twice as likely to volunteer to help the needy compared to demographically matched Americans who rarely or never attend church. In particular, weekly churchgoers are more likely to help the poor and elderly, to volunteer in school or youth program, and to volunteer for neighborhood or civic groups. In short, church attendance is a significant predictor for most types of volunteering, according to the Harvard's Robert Putnam in American Grace, the book I just mentioned. By many different measures, religiously observant Americans are better neighbors and better citizens than secular Americans. They are more generous with their time and money than demographically similar secular Americans, especially in helping the needy and the elderly, and they are more active in community life. Rather than choosing between religious and non-religious causes, they volunteer and give more generously to both. Now, why do I share this information? It's my way of saying, way to go, guys. Way to go, guys. I know and I believe many of you are already very active in community in various ways. And the thing is, you don't think of it as really taking the kingdom into your place. You would just say, well, you know, this is my problem, or this is what my kids are involved, or this is what I enjoy doing. Exactly. You see, in Jeremiah, God didn't say, people of Israel, now you're in Babylon, I want you to go to America, I want you to go to Italy. No, he said, right there where I put you, I want you to spread roots. I want you to multiply. I want you to do commerce. It talked about children and grandchildren. Settle down. I want you to become part of that community without losing that distinctiveness of knowing God, but nonetheless be part of that community in Babylon. And that's how Babylonian Empire got to know God. Everywhere Jews went, they practiced monotheistic belief, and they knew that the God existed. In the same way, we are called to just to be the light where we are. We don't have to go to a new place. We don't have to take on new activities. You have been full of that, full of activities. We're not asking you to take on another activity per se, but where God has already placed you, you can make the difference. Many churches nowadays, I lost that one. Now let me, I want to show you a movie clip, a video clip, and then I'll talk more about this. Well, this is a great organization. However, this is not the promotion of this particular ministry. We have a sister church in Maltby. It's called a High Point Church. It's a pastor by a friend of ours, Pastor John Check. Now, John Check's church started to sponsor and host this particular program a couple years ago. In other words, the church would gather people and a packed meal. This is all dried food like lentils, rice, protein powder, and dried vegetables. And they get packaged and sent to places like Africa to feed children. So Pastor John's church started to do this a couple years ago, but he had a different approach. Instead of separating, hey, this is a church program, we're gonna do this, he decided to invite a school district. In large part because his church meets at a middle school in Maltby area. And so he approached the church the school administration and said, hey, this is what we're doing. Would you like to come and join us? First year, two administrators just showed up just to observe what's going on. And they were really impressed. They liked the idea of helping children in Africa who needs food. And then next year, these administrators brought a class. And before the third event took place, several of the school children approached Pastor John and said, hey, when are you doing this food thing? You see that? It's a win-win situation, blessing in both directions. The church was able to sponsor this meal program to bless the children in Africa. At the same time, this church was able to bless the community that the church is located, specifically the school district. Now the school district's really excited about this program. They want to bring their children into it so that the children, our children, can experience what it's like to go hungry and to be able to help one another. You see, this is what I'm talking about. When we say we want to be a blessing to Duval or wherever you go, not to necessarily add anything extra, but just where you are, what you have the power to bring changes. You have been given the love to share. I'm involved with Ethiopia through a ministry called Acts 8. And a few weeks ago, my wife got an email from Ethiopia Campus Crusader that we are partner with, and staff members say, hey, we're taking 50 students to a mission trip. And just like with any mission trip, we have to raise funds to take these 50 students to various remote regions within Ethiopia for outreach. And they had to raise something like $800 total for 50 students for 1 month. But so far, they have been able to raise only about $200, and please pray for us. So my wife put it on Facebook, and guess what? It's our Adventure Youth that took on that challenge. And they put together work parties, they did a fundraising, and $600 was raised within a short period of time. And they send that fund so that the 50 people can go out and share the gospel. You see, within their power, within the sphere of influence, we can make a difference. And that's what we're talking about. Many churches now talk about it this way. These three B's reflect who we are as a church. This is about community. This is about studying, and this is about outreach to bless others. But the difference is this: first of all, this is a Celtic Trinity triangle, but they're all connected. And many churches are beginning to invite even non-churched people into these activities. Just like my friend John Check's church did. Instead of saying, well, this is a church event, church activities, only Christians can show up. No, he said, hey, to the school district, why don't you come join us and be part of this blessing together? And that's exactly how Jesus approached. Jesus didn't, when he gathered his disciples, he said, oh, wait, do you believe in me as a Messiah? Oh, okay, you can come in. No, you don't? No, you stay out there. You get your life together. No, that's not how it worked. Look at the Gospel of Mark. Starting chapter 1, he starts ministry. And it's only in chapter 3 that actually he gathers his disciples and calls them apostles. But it's all the way to chapter 8, halfway through the book of Mark, that Jesus finally asks these 12, who do you say that I am? Do you believe that I am the Messiah? It's way into the story. You see, Jesus allowed people to just hang out with them. And watching him in action, they're getting it. In the same way, we can do that. We can be involved in outreach, or we can even be into our community. To the unchurched people, say, hey, come join us. Let's do things together. What is the differentiator? That's this one. Who you are makes the difference. Who you are makes the difference. And who you are comes directly from Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, he dwells in you through the Holy Spirit. You are forever united with Christ. You can never be separated from him. And in fact, his mind is yours. His power is yours. His nobility, his righteousness, his goodness is all yours. His power is yours. And that is why Peter says in 2 Peter that you have become partakers of the divine nature. That means that you are completely united with Jesus. Jesus who raised the dead, healed the sick, opened the blind, restored the hearts. He is in you. And that makes you different. It's not necessarily what you do or where you belong that is different. So you have the freedom to invite unchurched people into your activities or into your group. And also you have the freedom to be you in where you live, where you work, where you play, where you go to school, right where you are. And that is what we're talking about, to bless the community. It's not always doing, but it's very you who makes the difference. It's you who is the blessing. And that can happen in any situation, in every situation. I didn't ask permission, but the benders in the back is an incredible example of that. They went through a horrific accident, and every step of the way, they trusted God. All they had was who they are in Christ. And everybody who came to the hospital, everybody who visited their home, unchurched people could see the difference, feel the difference. You guys are different. That's because Jesus in them, and they know who they are in Christ. And that's who you are. You are the differentiator. And you are to step into the community here and now. So, as I say this, where do you think God is calling you to step in right now, this week, starting even this afternoon as you leave this place? It could be a family, it could be friends, at work, at school, where you work. It could be the Starbucks that you regularly go to. Let me share my story. When our church started to talk about stepping in and bringing the kingdom to wherever you are, and of course our church as a whole, since we are located in Duval, we have been focusing on Duval. However, many of us actually come from different towns, and honestly, I wasn't feeling like, well, Duval is where I spend a lot of time in, and I started to ask, well, where is it? And the place that came to my mind is actually my wife's mother's place. She lives in a retirement community in Woodinville. Now, because of her physical conditions, she hasn't been able to really go to church easily. And even though she moved from Kent to Woodinville, and now she lives much closer to us, it was still difficult to bring her to Adventure. And yet, I really longed for her to be here. Both my wife and I wanted her to experience what we have been experiencing. And, you know, that has been for probably a couple of years that we have been thinking about it. How can we do this? How can we make it work? And when we started to talk about bringing the kingdom, finally the light went on. He said, no, it's not so much bringing Shirley to here, to the kingdom, but I need to somehow take the kingdom to Shirley. And then I started to think, well, what can I do? Well, maybe I can do Bible study or something like that. But then, you know, after I'm a pastor, the only thing I know how to do is to do a Sunday morning service. So I said, well, maybe I can do a Sunday morning service. And so I was leaving for Ethiopia in May, and just before that, I stopped at Shirley's retirement community and went up to the front desk and say, just curious, do you guys have like a Sunday morning Christian worship service here? And the lady said, no, we don't. Oh, okay, well, thanks for the information. Why? Well, I was, you know, kind of thinking about if you guys didn't have anything like that, maybe we could do something about it. And she goes, well, when would you like to start? How about after Father's Day? Okay, what time? 10:30? Okay, you're all set. So I was in Ethiopia, and you know, emailed my wife and said, I don't know what that really meant, so you better check with that place, you know. And sure enough, she wrote me back and said, yep, you are scheduled to be there at 10:30 on, you know, June 23rd. So I said, oh, okay, well, here we go. And I, honestly, I was thinking, okay, well, who's going to come anyway? You know, maybe a few people show up, and then I can say, well, you know, I tried God, and I was obedient, and that's what matters. And so I'll just nicely say, well, but, you know, no, thank you. So comes 23rd, I show up, and lo and behold, 13 people show up. And, of course, my mother-in-law being one of them. And so I started to go through a series, 1 John. And after the first message, this lady comes up to me with a beaming, beautiful smile. And she goes, you know, I lost my husband several years ago. But throughout my entire married life, he told me that I wasn't smart enough. And today, after listening to your message, I know that God views me different. If you have been around here long enough, you have heard enough messages about who you are in Christ. Probably some of the older people are sick and tired of it. But that has so much power, transforming power, to recognize and embrace who you really are in Jesus Christ. It has worked in Brazil. It has worked in Albania. It has worked in Japan. It has worked in Ethiopia. It has worked in the Philippines. Oh, by the way, this lady is in her 80s. Never too late to embrace your true identity. And she has been the most just a radiant personality to come to this service on Sunday morning. So now I'm stuck. I mean, I shouldn't say that. Thank you, God. But I'm stuck. That's why you haven't seen me here, is that I have to go there to preach. And last week, one of ours, Steve Carrier, actually went to preach for me. But we had 18 people. You see, the point is that you can do within your power to bring blessing. One couple there is originally from Scotland. His wife is in the beginning stage of dementia. And so she was not particularly responsive to our conversation. But her husband later told me that she loves to come because she gets to sing. And another woman who showed up, I learned later on that she had just lost her husband a few weeks before. And I was very humbled to realize that, wow, I have been used by God to bring the blessing. And if I can do it, so can you. If I can do it within my a field where I can do, so can you. You bring an incredible power within you. In Jesus Christ, bring changes, bring love to the people around you. So let me ask one last time, where do you want to step in this week, even this afternoon? Doesn't have to be brand new thing. Where would you like to step in and be the blessing and bring the change? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for what you have done for us. And you have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. And you have granted to us everything, everything pertaining to life and godliness. And you have been in us and with us, and nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And so with that power in us, Lord, where do you want us to step out? Where do you want us to step in? Where do you want us to bring the blessing this day? That we may be the light and the salt that you have created us to be. And Father, perfect love casts out